Skip Humphrey still believes Minnesota achieved the seemingly insurmountable, bringing the nearly omnipotent tobacco industry to its knees. But a year later, Humphrey has mixed feelings about the settlement's aftermath.
On the one hand, I'm very pleased that we've moved ahead on some of the efforts, but I'm very frustrated with the failure of the dollars to be being used in the manner in which I hoped they would.
Humphrey, who lost a bid for governor, is now a fellow at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. Just how to divvy up the tobacco booty has dominated much of the legislative session, and the issue is still unresolved. In an effort to sway legislators, anti-smoking advocates mark the trial's one-year anniversary at the state capitol rotunda.
You see around you a lot of photographs. These photographs represent just 2 months' worth of people who are victims of smoking in the state of Minnesota. They are here as a silent witness to call all of us to action. They are here to ask ourselves.
One photograph pictured former Minnesota Twins baseball player Bill Tuttle. Tuttle died last July of oral cancer from chewing tobacco. His wife, Gloria.
I literally jumped up and down when we won that settlement a year ago. But it's been a very hollow victory because nothing has been done. And we need to set aside at least 11% of that tobacco settlement money for tobacco prevention.
Governor Ventura and Senate DFLers want to set aside more than $1 billion to set up endowments for public health and family support. House Republicans want to include the one-time money in a tax cut, something Humphrey vehemently opposes.
The best possible public health initiative we could take would be to establish an endowment, putting the money away, not spending it, so that it makes substantial earnings, and from those earnings to be able to fund on an ongoing, long-term basis the cessation and prevention programs.
The state's partner in the case, Blue Cross Blue Shield Minnesota, got about $470 million from the tobacco settlement. Blue Cross did not escape debate over how it should spend its money. Some policyholders sued for that money, saying they ultimately bore the cost of smoking-related illnesses through higher premiums. The suit was dismissed. The health insurer's president and CEO, Andy Chakowski, says Minnesota and Blue Cross were fortunate to reach a settlement at all, particularly when many subsequent cases against the tobacco industry failed.
That our success may turn out to be somewhat distinctive in view of what some of the recent court decisions have been. So as I look back, I think that we really did accomplish a great deal.
The state's lead attorney in the case, Mike Cerisi, takes pride that attorneys engaged in other tobacco lawsuits are using the once private and some say damning tobacco files Cerisi's team of lawyers uncovered. At the time of the settlement, Cerisi said he would not take such a case again. He's since changed his mind.
This case was the result of a lot of very good people really putting themselves at risk. I mean, these people gave up their lives for 4 years, and, you know, some of them, it affected them physically. I mean, I could see it, and it was very difficult for them. Would I ask them to do it again? Knowing the individuals, probably, because they would do it. And the result was well worth the effort we put into it.
Minneapolis attorney Peter Sipkins, who assisted counsel for the tobacco companies, agrees the trial was one of the most intense he's experienced.
Why the energy that develops during a trial like that keeps everybody going. When the trial is over, that energy dissipates and you're left with sort of a feeling that now what am I going to do to fill my life?
When Sipkins looks back on the trial and settlement, he wishes he and the other local attorneys for the tobacco companies would have played a larger role in the case. Because the trial had implications nationally, the tobacco companies gave the lead roles to their own attorneys. Sipkins doesn't claim local attorneys could have won the case, only that they might have had a smoother time with the judge.
I think that the local counsel had a better relationship with Judge Fitzpatrick in particular than did the national counsel. And when the national counsel began to play a more major role in the case, Judge Fitzpatrick turned against the defendants. And had the local counsel stayed more involved, I think we might have had a fairer trial.
NPR was unable to reach any of the jurors who served on the case. Several of them flirted with financial ruin because of the time they were away from their jobs. Ramsey County Chief Judge Lawrence Cohen says, looking back, he wishes Judge Fitzpatrick would have used better judgment and dismissed some of the jurors for hardship.
This was a pretty tough thing that was done to these particular jurors, and that the sacrifice that they made was way over and above what anybody should have to make on jury duty. I guess professionally, I'd have to say that I don't know many judges that would have kept these jurors on this panel.
Judge Kenneth Fitzpatrick retired shortly after the trial, citing health reasons. He moved, and even his former boss, Chief Judge Lawrence Cohen, doesn't know where to find him. Cohen lobbied the legislature to pay three of the jurors lump sums for their hardship in serving on the tobacco trial. Those payments range from $4,500 to $17,000. That bill is awaiting Governor Ventura's signature. I'm Elizabeth Stawicki, Minnesota Public Radio.